This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump traveled to North Carolina to get briefed on recovery efforts and will be in California later to tour the destruction from wildfires there. While in North Carolina, the president signaled possible changes to the federal response on disasters, including eliminating FEMA. Lawmakers reacting, Republican Senator Susan Collins says she would rather see tweaks or oversight instead.
I still think you need some sort of FEMA-like agency at the federal level because states are overwhelmed at times of terrible natural disasters.
The first wave of military troops have arrived at the southern border after President Trump declared a national emergency, and military planes now involved in deportation flights. They're set to begin Monday. Tonight, the Senate takes a full vote on whether to confirm Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For News from the Center, 107.7 WRCE, I'm Jimmy Cuska. After lawmakers approved a bill to overhaul the state's reading curriculum, Tony Evers signed it into law, but the governor told the state legislature on Wednesday during the State of the State address that the funding has yet to be released by the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei-Olson.
In 2023, lawmakers passed a bill to overhaul how the state teaches reading in public schools. The new system is commonly referred to as the science of reading. It's backed by research and focuses more on phonics. It includes new curriculum and materials and hiring literacy coaches for school districts to use when they need to. Schools started this shift for students in 4K through 3rd grade in the fall, but they're doing it without the money they were expecting from the legislature. When it was passed, Act 20 included $50 million to switch to this new method, but lawmakers on the Joint Finance Committee have not released that money. If the $50 million for the new reading materials isn't released by June 30th, it'll go into the state surplus, which is already massive at $4 billion. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson.
Because Act 20 is law, school districts around the state have to pay for the materials and training on their own without any reimbursement by the state. The State Education Convention wrapped up Friday with a keynote speech by Governor Tony Evers, who echoed many of the statements he made during his State of the State address earlier in the week. That included a call for additional mental health funding for children and a demand for the state legislature's Joint Finance Committee to release $50 million in already approved funding for Act 20, the state's mandated overhaul of public school reading programs. The convention itself featured a number of breakout sessions tied to topics like school finance and referendums, as nearly 100 districts are on the ballot this spring across the state asking local taxpayers for more money to pay for teachers, operations, and facilities. Other popular topics at this year's convention included school safety initiatives, strategies for hiring and retention, communication and marketing, and artificial intelligence. In addition to breakouts, the state's top educators were also recognized during the convention. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Bucks turned down the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Miami Heat by nearly 30 points, 129-96. Miami suspending former Marquette star Jimmy Butler for missing the team flight to Milwaukee. Butler in a contract dispute with the Heat. Doc Rivers asked if he was surprised about the situation.
No, I don't know if I'm surprised or not. I just hope they find a way through it. I've been through these things before. You know, I was in Philly with Ben Simmons and all that. It's no fun for anyone.
NFL, two players from Wisconsin, among those to be named NFL Defensive Player of the Year, the Steelers' T.J. Watt from Pewaukee, and Eagles linebacker Zach Bond from Brown Deer.
That's really cool, really special. Honestly, not even on the spectrum of a goal of mine. I really just try to be the best player I can be and try to maximize my potential and my ability. It's a lot of credit to the guys up front and the guys on this team for aiding in my success.
That's Zach Bond. The Eagles host the Commanders Sunday at 2 for the NFC title with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries tonight and lows in the mid-teens. A mix of sun and clouds and blustery tomorrow, highs in the low 30s, mid-20s, and mostly sunny Sunday. A January thaw into next week, highs climbing through the 30s, even a few 40s. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow, This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
The dismantling of diversity, equity, and inclusion under Donald Trump has already begun. On the next show, we'll talk with Dr. Eva Martinez-Paulus about what DEI really is.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy, happy Friday to us all. We made it. We're here. We're here. It's Friday, the first week of the new administration.
Really?
And oh boy, it's been a doozy, folks. You can always...
It's the fifth day, just to be clear.
Fifth day. James Santel, co-host for the day, former U.S. prosecutor, U.S. attorney, sorry, Jim, host of Amicus, a law review. Playing right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 to 11 a.m.?
I think that those are the time periods, as far as I know.
I said it with a question mark. 9 to 11 a.m. on Saturdays, but we get a little preview here. We get your expertise. It's been a couple of weeks, Jim.
It has been. Good to be with you once again.
Yeah, thank you. Of course, Jess P.S. rolling on the boards. Thank you, Jess. And folks, you can be a part 855-752-4844. Lots of things to get to, maybe dive in a little bit more on some of the legal aspects, Jim, of the pardons and the executive orders and what judges have been saying.
And the demise of the Department of Justice, those kinds of things, right?
The decline of Western civilization. It's going to be great, Jim. I can't wait. But before we get going, I want to do a little follow-up here on one of the local stories that we've been talking about. The meteorologist, Sam Cuffell, she has spoken, according to Mary Spicuzza over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, in her first public remark since being dropped by WDJT TV Channel 58, that's the CBS affiliate. Mm-hmm. Meteorologist Sam Cuffell said Friday she never intended to harm anyone. Here's what she said, quote, "First, I just want to thank everyone for the tremendous support I received. I was just voicing my personal opinion on a private social media account that was inaccessible to the general public." In one post on her Instagram account, she shared a picture of Musk at the podium, saying, quote, "Dude, Nazi saluted twice, second time's capitalized, during the inauguration." She added, "You expletive with this and this man, I don't expletive with you, full stop." Then she put a meme up. It's always sunny in Philadelphia with a quote saying, "Screw that old expletive. He's a Nazi." Now, a couple of ways to look at that, but let me just continue briefly here. As mentioned earlier, conservative radio host Daniel Donald criticized her over her post, accusing her of, quote, "spreading the lie that Elon Musk was given a Nazi salute during the inauguration." Well, we talked about that the other day, Dan. That's exactly what he did, but, you know, you could call it something else if you like. Cuffell went on to say, "I never intended to harm anyone, certainly not my former employer and colleagues. I'm still processing all of this and weighing my options. But again, I'm deeply appreciative to all those who have supported me through this." And Sam, we support you through this. Spokeswoman for Weigel Weagle Broadcasting Company confirmed that Cuffell was no longer with Channel 58, but couldn't comment because of a personnel issue. She also did some stints on all sports radio station, 97.3 FM, WRNW occasionally as well. So, Sam, she got all sorts of things to say. And apparently on her private Instagram page, Jim, it was a bridge too far for calling a Nazi salute.
There you go. Right. And we talk a lot about the opportunities we all have in this country under the thing called the First Amendment, right? It's the very first one that James Madison and other people put in place in 1789. It does restrict government, and this is not a government decision. The Channel 58 is not a government entity. On the other hand, especially when you think about public entities that are responsible for providing news, yes, and weather. We need to know about weather here in Wisconsin and other places.
Certainly.
That's a very important thing, but also part of the public forum, right? And the broad interpretation that I always ascribe to the First Amendment is this notion of a place where ideas can be presented. And admittedly, she wasn't doing this while she was describing the incoming cold front, right?
Right. She was not in front of the green screen commenting. This was on her work's television station. She was doing it in her own private social media.
And I make that point in part because I could almost understand this if a company, a corporation doing this, it was not in that public forum business to begin with, where communication and the expression of ideas is all important, right? It makes it especially odious,
I believe, that's so cute, Jim.
And so I think there's a lot to be said for her own statements there, which are, I'm doing this in a private capacity. Did not mean to hurt anybody, no, but she meant to articulate a view that she had. That's what our nation
Express
is all about.
Express disgust and rage over something?
Right,
yeah,
right.
I mean, Elon Musk made that awkward gesture, as the ADL said, standing behind the presidential seal, man.
Right.
I mean, this is not acceptable. Now, some of the arguments. Well, you know, I've seen a lot of still photos of a bunch of Democrats with their hand in the air. You know, mm-hmm. Of course, those aren't the same things.
Right.
And it's not like Elon Musk has not shown these kinds of tendencies in the past.
Right.
Oh, and they say, well, he's on the spectrum, you know, and he's got autism. I'm like, well, you know, I know some folks with autism. I don't know that it's a natural reaction to give the Nazi salute. I don't think that's an excuse or a reason. So, you know, given the totality of the man and his circumstances and his what he's said in the past, the most recent past with these, far right-wing German organizations.
Absolutely. And it's appropriate, again, when we think about all kinds of things, in employment setting, housing setting, academic settings, to look not just at the specific event, but the circumstances and the person more generally. We talked about that in the context of sentencing, right? You look at all the circumstances surrounding this, and that's why this is also to be understood in that context. There are people out there who have chosen not to be in the public forum. He plainly has.
Yep.
And so under those circumstances, all of us in the public forum are attentive to how we look, how we appear. And I'm not talking about physical appearance and the way we dress necessarily.
Well,
but
keep bringing those cookies my physical appearance is going to change.
right. He is voluntarily a public figure, undeniably.
Right.
And for that reason, too, has to be aware of the fact. The other reaction, of course, that I had is that this falls in the category of people who would compare anything to, the Holocaust, the Third Reich.
Yeah.
You just don't do that.
Lose
right?
that argument every
right?
time.
Right? And for the same reason, you just don't put your hand in the air in that kind of a manner, right?
Yeah.
All kinds of gestures out there.
Twice.
And if you accidentally do something that gets interpreted that way, you come out immediately
and
denounce the hell out of that gesture.
Precisely.
And you apologize profusely that impression.
And that hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened.
He trolled people for comparing him to a Nazi. I mean, he didn't acknowledge the fact that he did it twice. And so I think to Jess's point there, Jim, his lack of contrition or acknowledgement of what he did, the reaction for, you know, anti-fascists like me, and the reaction of the white Christian nationalists, they're all giddy about it, man. Rolling Stone has these cats are like, yeah, we're back, baby. So if everyone looks at these lots of people in these, you know, kind of groups, look at that and says, wow, that looks like a Nazi salute.
It means something.
Maybe
it
does.
That means something.
If the Nazis are happy and the anti-fascists are mad, maybe it was a Nazi salute.
Right. And no statement, as Jess has just said so very well and pointedly, no statement immediately and definitively saying I am so incredibly sorry. Yeah. I was excited in the moment and I did this thing. And let me be very clear to all of you who support what I did, who are horrified by what I did. That was not my intent. And I have learned and I will never do that again. That was what we have not heard.
No.
If we had heard any of that, I suspect that this would now be not a blip, but it would be just another thing that happened weirdly and oddly, and we would all be sort of grimacing and uncomfortably. Unfortunately, we're still talking about this, and it does send messages to America, sends messages to the world about a man who once again is on Air Force One, who plainly is in the White House, who is doing these kinds of things. It sends a message to our allies overseas, our enemies overseas, about who we are today in 2025.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review right here on Civic Media, Saturdays 9 to 11 a.m. Joining me today, you can do so as well, 855-752-4842. Again, Sam Cuffell, the quote. First, I want to thank everyone for the tremendous support I received. I was just voicing my personal opinion on a private social media account that was not accessible to the general public. That sounds like she's laying down the seed corn for a lawsuit, man. Right, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, it's very specific. Personal opinion, private social, not accessible. Those are like the hallmarks of a court case, doesn't it?
These are the three paragraphs in the memorandum that I'm filing in the federal district court or in the state court, wherever I need to either defend my actions or probably more appropriately with respect to Channel 58. And I know the lawyers are certainly all over this already.
Yeah.
Think about remedies that she has, not only in the employment setting, raising all these issues down that you and I and Jess have just talked about, including First Amendment rights, privacy rights, the right to be articulate. And again, I return to that fundamental notion, which was my initial reaction to all this, which is this is an entity that is in the business of communication. Other things, you know,
they're in the business of business, baby. Right, they're in the business. Right. They're a for-profit organization. Now, their means of revenue is a regulated FCC product, certainly, but they're in the business to make money. And I think that was their overriding concern. Is, oh my God, if our meteorologist does or says something like this, we're gonna, you know,
we've got a ratings concern here, right? This is all going to tank, right? Right. Lots of things for their lawyers to be thinking about as she considers her options as well.
Would you encourage her to pursue some sort of remedy?
It certainly is worth exploring. I did a fair amount of employment litigation when I was in the U.S. Attorney's Office, a little bit since that time. The questions, again, they go back basically to contract law, things like what are the terms and circumstances of her employment? What did she say? What are the things that she agreed to do and not do? It becomes one of those things that lawyers love to engage in, which is let's look at the fine print right here and discuss that. But then you can also get to the larger issues, which we've talked about inside free speech and the capacity, as I say, to communicate with the public. You do not lose. You do not lose your rights to be an American citizen just by virtue of taking on, admittedly, again, another public figure. She is a weather person. She is doing that. You don't lose your rights under the Constitution and under the laws of the state of Wisconsin. Also, all that should be explored.
But to your very valid point, we don't know what kind of employment agreement she may have signed up for, what the restrictions are, those kinds of things. And that's something to be considered. On the face of it, though, come on, man. Jim, yes or no, did you interpret that as a Nazi salute?
Within 2.5 seconds, absolutely, right?
And
right.
Were you appalled by it?
I was appalled by it, absolutely, and could not believe. I almost thought it was a meme, frankly, in the moment.
Right.
And
like, this is fake. It turned out not to be that. We're not fake. We are the real deal. The Dom Salvia Show, James Santel, Jess P.S. on the board. You guys coming up as well, 855-752-4842.
From the center, WRCE.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
To the Creep Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, the Law Review on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. My co-host for the day, of course, Jess P.S., working hard on the board and jamming the tunes. I heard that song a few times today on my playlist.
Oh, yeah, come on. It rocks.
It brings me back to the old rock and roll days.
Yeah,
you
that
know?
Just came out this past weekend.
It's crazy.
But it's a
it's
throwback.
It's so 80s.
Oh, a lot of what they do is, and it's good stuff. That's Avantasia. That's that group that I've been listening to a lot lately.
So much fun.
Good stuff.
855-752-4842. Let's get to the lines and some texters, but, you know, generally how we do it here. Like to give priority to our callers, 855-75-CIVIC. Charles from Milwaukee. Welcome. Happy Friday, Charles. What do you got for us?
Hey, happy Friday, guys. So my question is, if she did this on her own account, not the work account.
Yeah.
My question is Elon Musk, is he a political person or is he just a rich guy with the made up title hanging out with the president?
I think it's a little bit of both.
and Charles, it does go to the point that we were making before. I agree with you that Elon Musk is undeniably a public figure, right? And when it comes to things related to journalism and, frankly, defamation issues, all kinds of things, that makes a difference. He has chosen to be in that setting and comes with it, as those of us who've been in those settings, comes with it criticism from all sides out there, right? It's a part of the practice, that his status does make a difference, absolutely.
Charles, any other thoughts?
No, except for it was a Nazi salute. He did it hard. He didn't just pat his chest. He hit his chest pretty hard.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a school teacher for 18 years. I've never seen an autistic person do that. So, so yeah.
And Charles, if that ever happened in your school, would those children be admonished for that behavior?
Yes, they would.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Hey, thanks for the call. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, Charles. Elon Musk, the world's richest man and Tesla CEO, has waded into Wisconsin's high-profile state Supreme Court race that will determine if the court stays under liberal control or flips back to a conservative majority. Ooh, what did the man say? Well, here's the quote. Very important to vote Republican for the Wisconsin Supreme Court to prevent voting fraud.
No one tell him. No one tell him.
Yeah, so he it's more of the same. So he is to Charles' point, he is political. He's wading in. Mm-hmm. He's lying to the citizens of Wisconsin to say that if somehow, some way the liberal gets elected, that's going to what? Cause voter fraud?
Open up the floodgates to something that we know doesn't exist to begin with, never was a part of our history, and now you're going to welcome that in by voting here. That too. Does he, like all of us, have a right to be heard out there? Sure he does, but again, responsibly, Elon, let's try to do that, right?
Hey, I mean, listen, as part of the public, you know, things we say can come back on us, man, and I embrace that. You know, if I say some stupid-ass things, that I deserve to get a little hell for it. I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. That keeps you on your toes.
Right.
If you walk through life like this cat thinking, oh, I do no wrong. Like Donald Trump, no wrong, never apologize, no empathy, no nothing. It's just that whatever you are at that time is the perfect thing to be at all times.
And you're using your public notoriety to comment on things about which you know nothing. Plainly, this is not the big point. I don't mean to focus on this too much, but of course, yeah. even though in recent elections, absolutely, they've been politicized, the reality is this is not a political race. This is supposed to be apolitical, right? So let's begin with that notion. Maybe if you're going to wade into Wisconsin politics, what you do is you talk about candidates who may have a more conservative view about the application of the law. You sort of signal those things. But even in the few things that the few words that he has used, he's gotten it wrong.
Well, he retweeted some conservative who was bitching about the drop boxes.
Right.
It's that same old argument. And there's nothing wrong with drop boxes, people.
Sure. And my guess is if you asked Elon Musk to describe in two sentences what the drop box issue in Wisconsin was, how it's gone back and forth, obviously, in recent Supreme Court decisions, why that's important and where it stands even right now, he would not be able to tell you a thing about it.
855-752-4842. Dick from Madison, you are up. Happy Friday, Dick. Welcome. What do you got?
Excuse me. First of all,
put the bong down,
what
man.
What he's got is a cold.
Yeah. Elon Musk, if the mustache fits, wear it. That's all I can say to that. Everybody knows what that was. But question, first of all, on the birthright citizenship, too. This federal judge that was appointed under Reagan tossed that out of hand. And then, all of this stuff. I hear, I'm the only one old enough to remember the Jackson Brown song, Lawyers in Love. This is going to be nothing but lawyers in love and litigation nonstop.
It is a full employment plan, is it not, Dick, for lawyers out there, right? Right.
Well, that's his plan for employing people,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And unfortunately, if we were to push back on these things, like the notion that the 14th Amendment does not mean what it says and says what it means, unfortunately, yes, we've got to go into court. Thank goodness, there is that judge in Seattle who said, you know, after 25 minutes said, this is unconstitutional. And then also, Dick, as you well know, went on to look at the attorney who was advocating for the law for the position of the president and said, I am shocked, candidly, that any lawyer would come into this bar and advocate for something that's so clearly wrong. And suggesting once again, maybe that lawyer, again, who is representing, by the way, the Department of Justice now, 4 days in, he himself may be the subject of some further bar review if, in fact, these things continue in this way. But the judge, again, good for him to decide this. It's a preliminary injunction, just last 2 weeks. Still have to go in down the road and get this confirmed. But if we're spending this much time and effort, and this is your point, Dick, with lawyers and judges, we're not getting to the serious things in America, which should be about things like, oh, I don't know, environment and healthcare and commerce.
And how much money Trump and Elon Musk have stuffed their pockets with in the first 5 days. Those kinds of things I'm always curious about. It's not just Trump jumping, you know, making us do the shiny object problem. It's just guys like Elon Musk trolling us as well. We need to decipher that. Let's talk more about this birthright citizenship case, the 14th Amendment, and the executive orders. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, come back with us, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For News from the Center, 107.7 WRCE, I'm Jimmy Kuska. So far, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has counted 92 districts statewide that have committed to a referendum this spring. Five in February, including Mauston's $7 million referendum to keep the district from dissolving, and 87 more in April, including a nearly $70 million plan for facility improvements at Baraboo. River Valley, Riverdale, Weston, Dodgeville, Prairie du Chien, Viroqua, DeSoto, and New Lisbon are all seeking operational referendums this April as well. Law enforcement officials in Tennessee say there's a potential link between a Nashville shooting this week and one in Madison at Abundant Life Christian School last month. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
17-year-old Solomon Henderson was the shooter in Nashville this week. His social media account, according to ABC News, was followed by Natalie Rupnow, the Abundant Life Christian School shooter. Henderson, who allegedly killed a female student before taking his own life in a Nashville high school cafeteria, may also have interacted with Rupnow on social media prior to her attack in Madison last month.
Two people were killed and six were hurt in the Abundant Life Christian School shooting last month. This year's Green Bay Packers tailgate tour is coming to the Cooley region. The Packers announced yesterday a series of stops from April 8th through the 12th, which will include a stop in Onalaska on April 10th. The Onalaska stop is hosted by the Hunger Task Force at the Stony Creek Hotel. Tickets for the stop are available on the Hunger Task Force website. Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft, Lucas Van Ness, Amon Green, Jermichael Finley, John Michaels, and Mark Murphy will appear on the tour. A second major musical event is coming to Camp Randall Stadium in Madison this year. Morgan Wallen will play the venue on June 28th with Miranda Lambert and Ella Langley. It'll be the first concert at Camp Randall since 1997. Last fall, Coldplay announced they would be making a stop at the venue, which is the home of the Wisconsin Badgers. Coldplay's first Wisconsin appearance since 2009 will happen on July 19th. Tickets will go on sale next week on Morgan Wallen's website as well as uwbadgers.com. For WRCE, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Oscar nominations came out yesterday. 10 movies were nominated for Best Picture. But in the Best Supporting Actor category, there were 5 nominees, including Yuri Borisov for Anora, Edward Norton for his role opposite Timothy Chalamet in the Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown. Guy Pearce was nominated for his role in The Brutalist. Kieran Culkin for the comedy drama A Real Pain. And his Succession co-star Jeremy Strong drew a nomination for his part in The Apprentice. A Complete Unknown, The Brutalist, and Anora all drew Best Picture nominations as well. In the Best Supporting Actor category, it was more good news for A Complete Unknown as Monica Barbaro was nominated, to no one's surprise. Ariana Grande got a nod for her role in the blockbuster Wicked. Felicity Jones for The Brutalist. Isabella Rossellini is up for her role in Conclave. And after showing her musical side, the Academy recognized Zoe Saldana for her role in Amelia Perez. Every film these actresses were in was also nominated for Best Picture. Nice job, girls. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy, a few flurries tonight and lows in the mid-teens. A mix of sun and clouds and blustery tomorrow, highs in the low 30s, mid-20s, and mostly sunny Sunday. A January thaw into next week, highs climbing through the 30s, even a few 40s.
Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
It is the weekend. That means coming up on the show, we'll break down all the news that you might have missed and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Anywhere I want to go.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. James Santel, co-host for the day. Check him out Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. Host of Amicus, a Law Review. Jess P.S. working hard on the phones. You folks chiming in. We will get to you. Be patient. Just give us 1 second here to throw out this topic, or at least continue the conversation on the federal judge on Thursday blocking Trump's executive order aiming to limit birthright citizenship. But my first reaction was like, well, hell, man. Why didn't Biden or Obama throw out an executive order to, I don't know, curtail the Second Amendment? Right. Or what would stop Donald Trump from, I don't know, curtailing the First Amendment? Right. If you can do it by executive orders, it's just asinine on its face. And given the fact the judge took like 25 minutes to slap it down, makes me feel like maybe I have good instincts on that.
Exactly. Good instincts. And you don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be a federal judge to understand this. He says this is a blatantly unconstitutional order. Here's the language. Frankly, I have difficulty understanding how a member of the bar, any lawyer, he says, would state unequivocally that this, meaning the president's order, is constitutional. It just boggles my mind. And to your good point, Dom, if in fact the current president wants to rescind the first sentence of the 14th Amendment, let's go on to the other sentences, which are the ones we always think about in connection with the 14th Amendment. No laws abridging the privileges or immunities, due process, and equal protection. Can a president, by virtue of a stroke of a pen in the Oval Office, rescind that language? And what would our reaction on all sides of the political aisle be to that? As you say, pick your provision of the Constitution right, and decide that it's no longer going to be active.
Well, I'll tell
active.
You what my impression, given what we're seeing right now on the all sides of the political aisle, you know, some that are not the MAGAs would be mad about it. And the sycophant MAGAs, butt-kissings,
right.
Cult members would be like,
would say,
well,
right,
if Donald Trump wants it, then Donald Trump gets it.
And that due process stuff,
huh?
And that equal protection stuff that you've been talking about for 238 years, it's time to put that to bed.
Yeah,
there would be those people who would say that, again, just because the president has said that. They're completely wrong, and they need to be pushed back. You know, this is the kind of thing that unless it is stopped, as this federal district court judge did unequivocally, this needs to continue to happen so that somehow the messages come through that if you do these kinds of things that, again, are in the category of the sun rises in the West, you're not only going to get responses in the federal and state courts, but you're going to be shut down and you might be sanctioned as well.
And hopefully publicly mocked and shamed.
Yes, right,
and every way, you know, you throw around Nazi symbols motions, you should be mocked roundly. You engage in insurrection against this country. You attack cops and get pardons. We'll go there next.
Yes.
We had 11 of them here in the state of Wisconsin. Most of them just kind of trespassing kind of thing. One guy so proud that he was what? He was
pepper sprayed three cops so bad they had to go home and take the clothes off.
He was he was bragging about it on the social medias. And those are the folks that Donald Trump let out of jail. We have some more of the details on that. But point being, Jim, if you're going to engage in that, you get a guy like Trump to give you a pass. I'm not going to give you a pass. I hope you don't. I hope all you folks don't. Don't give a pass.
Right.
You don't get a pass for that.
And we will talk about this in just moments. And that is the federal judges who are still have some jurisdiction in these cases have said unequivocally just the past couple of days, no pass here. No rewriting history, condemning again as strongly as they did when they imposed the sentences in the first place. This conduct will remain in the annals of our history in this country. And how dare you try to suggest otherwise? Federal judges, again, can be the sources of protection at a time when we need it desperately against the kinds of crazy things that this president is doing and other people who follow him.
5 days in, the Trump administration, actually Trump said this in remarks to reporters regarding his executive order being, squashed, I guess, for 2 weeks until they really nail it down. Obviously, we'll appeal it. They put it before a certain judge in Seattle, I guess, right? There's no surprises with that judge. Well, of course, he doesn't know jack about that judge. That judge was appointed by, who was that flaming liberal? What was his? Oh, yeah.
I think his
Ronald
initials
Reagan.
Were RR, right? Exactly.
That one.
Right?
That one.
Right? Exactly.
Or
would
they call him a rhino now? You know what I mean? I get if Ronald Reagan is a rhino, you know what I mean?
But what is even left there of the Republican Party?
You know, you got the richest man in the world giving a Nazi salute. That's what's left.
That's what's left.
And you've got, this is Judge Cowenauer out there in Seattle, who again is very, very clear about all this and plainly setting up the future arguments, which are going to come in down the road. And he will certainly turn that limited injunction. That's the way these things work. Initially, right. You put a stop on everything until the parties can fully brief it again to your previous caller's remark, full employment plan for lawyers as we continue to write these things and make these arguments. And again, noting that
lawyers never lose cases, Jim. They always get paid.
Right, exactly.
Unless you're Trump's lawyer sometimes.
This is the judge talking. He says, I've been on the bench for over 4 decades. This is blatantly unconstitutional. Where were the lawyers when this decision was being made? And he's talking about the people inside the West Wing. Where's the legal counsel for this president saying, Mr. President, with due respect, you cannot do that? Maybe they were around at the initial days of the first term. Apparently, they're no longer there. And the judge is calling that out.
855-752-4842. Let's get back to the lines. I mean, I'm not sure Stephen Miller's an attorney, but I bet he had something to do with it. Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Welcome, Cindy. Happy days. What do you got for us?
Well, I just wanted to go back a little bit to what you were talking about before the break about, you know, how these fiscally responsible Republicans, all they can do is find ways to spend their taxpayer dollars on all these frivolous, stupid lawsuits and whatnot. And the same with Wisconsin. I mean, the Republicans lost their fair map suit, so now they got to go after more voter restriction laws. I don't know why the people who vote for these Republicans are not up in arms about all this stupid waste of taxpayer dollars. Mm. I mean, obviously, we have unlimited pockets here, but, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, hold them to account, Cindy. It's a great point, and it's evidenced in many of the issues that they have gone to court on. And like the most egregious example was Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss hiring former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Gableman,
right? And finding that indeed, to your good point, Cindy, that an awful lot, hundreds of thousands of dollars spent, and to no end. And again, Abe Gableman himself being in trouble for going down that road, not only spending your dollars, but doing it in a way that's contrary to the basic ethics principles of the bar in the state of Wisconsin, every other state, an issue that, Cindy, you and others in your circle of influence should be outraged about.
And I think we're into the millions of dollars. Right. And not only was it bunk, not only did that cat not know anything about it, not only was there a need not to do it, as Assembly Speaker Voss was doing the bidding of Trump, right?
Right.
Using our tax dollars to do the political bidding of a guy in Donald Trump to hire an incompetent, corrupt man who didn't know anything about election law to set up shop in a strip mall and then to avoid open records requests, destroy his records, and then get sued. And then with taxpayer dollars, got to pay the folks that won the lawsuit. Because it's not coming out of Gableman's pocket. It's not coming out of Voss's pocket. It comes out of the state of Wisconsin's pocket.
And again, consistent with our theme this afternoon, where does this become clear? It's in the courts of America, right? This is a Dane County Circuit Court judge who looks at Gableman as he's a witness, not only and punishes him and comments about his own misbehavior, that is Gableman on the stand, but also admonishes him for his conduct where in a court of law in America, in this state.
He was like, Gableman was like staying crap about the judge and absolutely. Like and the prosecuting attorney, like right. saying nasty, go in the back room, like that kind of stuff.
Right.
I mean, come on. Oh yeah, it was weird. Oh, it was. Absolutely. I mean, it was not becoming a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice.
Can we get back to calling these things weird?
It's all weird. But is it? Does weird implies? I think maybe an aside from normalcy. This is normal for what we're seeing on the Republican side right now. I, that's what I'm thinking. It's weird to me.
Yeah.
It's every day for them. Like Gableman thinks he's probably righteous as hell doing what he's doing, spending 100%. That money, doing all that. You know what I'm saying? It's all normal.
It's freaking weird.
It's freaking weird.
And it is weird. There's no doubt about it. And that's our natural first response. But again, our conversation today, and it should be continuing, is it's also in many ways illegal and it's unconstitutional. It's contrary to the basic tenets upon which our government was established. And is that weird? Yes, it is, because we have not seen that, at least in our lifetimes. It is even more troubling because it rolls back the very basis upon which our country lives and breathes and goes on. That's the problem.
People got to stand up for it, Jim. 855-752-4842. Joe from Madison, welcome. Happy Friday, Joe. What do you got for us?
Well, speaking of weird, the deluge from the Trump administration continues with just 1 week in. I'm looking at a Salon.com article from January 23 that says the Trump administration questions Native Americans' birthright citizenship in court. Right. Native Americans' birthright citizenship. Mm-hmm. They're looking at a pre-14th Amendment law in their fight to do this, never minding the law from 1924, which gave Native Americans citizenship. What are we spending our time on? Well, so you go back to something that's before the 14th Amendment to say that Native Americans do not have birthright citizenship. As one Native American speaker said, where are they going to deport us to? Hello?
Right. Joe, thanks for the call. Jim, your thoughts.
And Joe's point underscores the notion that these executive orders that he's issuing are not just one sentence long, right? They're not simply saying, I'm rescinding the first sentence of the 14th Amendment. They've got all these specific details, all of them, the kinds of things that are coming out in recent days. And that's why you need to parse through all those details. So you find inside a lot of that language more reason to be outraged. The reference to Native Americans and their apparent lack of birthright citizenship.
And this is the position of the U.S. government in their defense of this executive order, right?
Precisely. And you've got lawyers, again, going into court saying, yes, indeed, this is it. As the judge in Seattle said, where are the lawyers saying, as Joe just did, that we've got some law that again, supersedes your earlier litigation, your case here, and it's called the 14th Amendment. It was ratified by the states. It has been passed since the days after the Civil War. Where are those people? Where are those people saying that? They're not in the White House right now. Or if they are, they won't be there long because Donald Trump doesn't want to hear that.
No. They're filtering them out. Cam from Appleton, you'll have the last word this segment. Welcome, Cam. What do you got?
Hey, in Kamala's book on page 236, she talks about how she invited a professor from the University of Michigan to visit and show her how one of the voting machines could be hacked in order to switch votes over to a different candidate. And I'm not saying I'm asking you guys to believe any of that stuff again. It's more like when Elon says stuff about election interference, these guys are absolute professional gaslighters. If they accuse something, it's because they're doing it. That's all they do. They've done it for the last almost 10 years now, just straight with us. I don't think that it should be just a quick dismissal saying our elections are secure and that it's completely disproven. They are liars.
Well, I don't doubt that, Cam, but once again, who's got the standing? Who's bringing the lawsuits? Where is the evidence? You know, that's got to happen.
We can't bring the lawsuits, period.
Why?
Because they require recounts, and the only person that was able to request the recounts were specific people that lived in the counties per most of the states, because each state has different rules on how you make those requests for the recounts. And then if those specific people didn't meet the deadline, then Kamala was the only other one that could request the recounts of the physical ballots, and they can't afford to pay for recounts in every single state.
Thanks for the call, Cam. This has been an ongoing thing, and I know that there's been a conversation. I think Tom Hartman had Greg Palast on talking about the suppression of the votes and how all these things happen. Jim, any opinion on that?
Big picture issue once again. We know not only from 60 different lawsuits, federal judges, state judges of all ilks, we know from all of the legitimate counts that go on routinely that there simply is not voter fraud in America. It just doesn't happen. You've got these little pieces here and there. You get these allegations that there are voting machines, Dominion voting machines are corrupting. What happens there? You say that and you find yourself on the receiving end of a millions and millions of dollar judgment for lying to America. There's just no there there, and it needs to stop.
855-752-4842. There's still Symantec, the other voting machine company, still has an ongoing case against Fox News and others, I believe. At least Fox is like almost over a billion. Hey, come back with us more on the Dom Salvi Show with James Santel, Jess P.S. Come back with us.
News from the center, WRCE. Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
To the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842. Jazzed as hell, James Santel co-hosting today his show, Amicus, a law review, playing out on the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. Got just PS on the board, you folks on the line, and the texters. Let's throw a couple of these texters out there quickly while we have a moment, Jim, if you will indulge me. Steve from the MKE says, Trump already went after Medicare, raised the price of prescription drugs. Will Social Security be next? Question mark. Canceled medical research funding, including cancer. Yeah, Trump's been a busy, busy boy.
Pulled us out of the World Health Organization, right? And if we have another pandemic, any sort of national, international health crisis of the sort that is in all of our memories, the fact that we're no longer a part of that group on the face of the planet, that can also result in deaths. And the catastrophe that could come from that seemingly superficial decision to pull out of a national organization. Sounds very, very businesslike, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It has huge consequences. The people in the health industry will tell you that is potentially catastrophic. We haven't seen it yet because it's, again, just 3 days old.
Well, that's not entirely true. We have seen the ramifications of pulling out of these international health organizations. We saw it in 2020.
Absolutely, right? And so we're doing it again, right? Right? And because we simply don't like that notion that America would be a part of something where we sit at a table with other people on the face of this planet. We can't have that because we, of course, are superior to all those other people.
Obviously,
right?
Obviously. Some shows are more superior than others. 855-752-4842. Keith from Broadhead, you are up. Welcome, Keith. Happy Friday. What do you got for us?
Hey, happy Friday, guys. So your texter there brought up my point basically about Social Security, and this question is more for James as an attorney. James, if by some hook or crook the I can't call him POTUS, something else I use, but I can't say it in here.
Thank you, Keith.
if he's able to do away with Social Security or cut it or damage it in such a way that it folds, which he can do, do we as citizens have any kind of recourse legally as far as breach of contract or the social contract with the people of the country? We paid in my case, several, hundreds of thousands of dollars in Social Security over my last 45 plus years of working. Right. Is there anything legally that we have fall back on?
Of course, the quarters you paid into, right, Keith? That's the term, right? And we've all done that, whether you're inside government, in private sector, public sector, those kinds of things. The answer is sure, because once again, Social Security, obviously a creation of the legislature, right? And your argument, again, I don't know if you're a lawyer or not, but even if whether you are or not, you understand the concept. There is a contract made. And when you first began your employment 45 years ago, you probably signed some documents that said that, yes, for the next 45, you didn't know. Was 45 years at the time, but on those quarterly bases, when it remove these monies from the income you'd otherwise get, that's a contract. That's one basis upon which you can maintain that it is now being breached by any decision, whether it's executive branch, a legislative branch, and that's the other piece of this. More broadly, there is a legislative package there that says that this is, and I'm not going to use the word entitlement, you've earned it, right? And for that reason, that too could be a breach of this. There are many different arguments that private citizens, and I would like to think that our legislators would also pursue, and once again, in the courts of this land, to ensure that that right that has been in place for ever since FDR has been around would be protected. Absolutely. Many, many opportunities there.
And, certainly, Jim, Republicans contribute to the Social Security,
right,
Democrats,
right.
People that don't even vote.
This hits close to
home. You want to get some people engaged in the political system, like the ones that don't vote? Mm-hmm. Tell them, hey, thanks for the tips, but we're not paying that out anymore.
Right.
Yeah, I guarantee you'd see some folks stepping up and coming to the polls.
To a population that does vote, and that is people who are getting Social Security right now.
Right.
Obviously funded by incoming employees, the employees who are working right now. But when that funding stream, if that is somehow threatened, if that is cut off, also a basis for going into court and asserting your rights.
Raising the cap on, those that get over it in the first, couple of minutes of the year, right. Like Elon Musk, 855-752-4842. Go ahead, Jim.
And Keith, it also raises the larger issue, which is just in executive orders, and we've talked about this broadly. The whole idea is that the Congress should be making these decisions, right? This goes back to Democrats and Republicans, all of whom have been thwarted when they've tried to do these kinds of things over the top, beyond their skis, as they say. And with some changes here and there, some variation, the Supreme Court has basically said, no, the legislature, those are the people who decide the policy of the government. The executive branch does what? It executes the law established by the Congress. That's the other sort of constitutional argument to be made, that the president does not have the authority to do many of these things that he's doing in the past couple of days here.
Don't tell Trump right that.
Now, by executing the law, you don't mean take out back and shoot twice, because that's what
not,
it seems like he's
right?
doing.
It is one of those definitions, Jess, in the dictionary that has one, two, and three, and four, and various pictures along the side, only one of which involves a firing squad. So that's exactly right.
execute the laws. Mm-hmm. Leave the gun, take the cannoli. Folks are listening to the Dom and Salvia Show. Got James Santel hanging out for another hour. You can join us as well, 855-752-4842. Just PS working hard on the board. We got some of the texters. They're going to run out of time here. I want to get into that. Topically speaking, in the next hour, we're going to talk about the pardons a little bit. Yes. And I think Ron Johnson, the senator from the state of Wisconsin, had some comments on that. He also apparently has some comments to talk about the fiscal responsibility. Man, he doesn't think there should be any corporate income tax. Shocking. Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin, will get there as well. Plus your calls, 855-752-4842. Come back with us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by Kim Shefchik from Doctors in Recital, and it's a bar band Friday night, which means our pal Terry Barr drops by with new music and sparkling conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The full Senate takes a late-night confirmation vote for Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth. He's expected to be confirmed after a swirl of misconduct allegations as new details emerge. ABC's Olivia Rubin with more.
Sources tell ABC News Pete Hegseth paid a woman $50,000 to settle a sexual assault claim in 2017. Hegseth has said the allegation is false and the encounter entirely consensual. His attorney saying he only settled because...
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The full Senate takes a late-night confirmation vote for Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth. He's expected to be confirmed after a swirl of misconduct allegations as new details emerge. ABC's Olivia Rubin with more.
Sources tell ABC News Pete Hegseth paid a woman $50,000 to settle a sexual assault claim in 2017. Hegseth has said the allegation is false and the encounter entirely consensual. His attorney saying he only settled because he feared his career would suffer